All right, you guys, happy Tuesday. And yep, it's looking like our boss BB is bugging, you guys. I mean, that man is just out of control. And now there's some real beef, and I'm kind of excited about this, brewing between him and Donald Trump. I haven't seen a beef this big since Tupac versus Biggie. Plus, I learn, color me shocked, that there is a figurative bounty on my head. Apparently, influencers, if they're small-time micro-influencers, are making up to $1,000 to make anti-Candace and anti-Tucker Carlson videos. And also, bigger influencers are making even more than that. I wonder who could be paying them. Well, I'm willing to pay to find out. So welcome back to Candace. So we jump off the podcast yesterday and I'm feeling good. We had a huge show yesterday and almost immediately there's news of a total ceasefire between Israel and Iran because we learned this information apparently because Trump was able to broker peace. He jumps onto Truth Social and he announces this. He says, "Congratulations to everyone. It has been fully agreed by and between Israel and Iran that there will be a complete and total ceasefire." And then he puts in quotation marks rather mysteriously in approximately 6 hours from now, when Israel and Iran have wound down and completed their in-progress final missions for 12 hours, at which point the war will be considered ended. Officially, Iran will start the ceasefire, and upon the 12th hour, Israel will start the ceasefire. And upon the 24th hour, an official end to the 12-day war will be saluted by the world. During each ceasefire, the other side will remain peaceful and respectful. On the assumption that everything works as it should, which it will, I would like to congratulate both countries, Israel and Iran, on having the stamina, courage, and intelligence to end what should be called the 12-day war. This is a war that could have gone on for years and destroyed the entire Middle East, but it didn't and never will. God bless Israel. Of course, Israel first. God bless Iran. God bless the Middle East. God bless the United States of America. And God bless the world. Signed off, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. And he posts this at 5.02 p.m. I mean, literally almost right when we finished this stream. And first and foremost, I'll say when I saw that, when I was looking at just the explanation of how it was going to go down, like Iran was going to stop firing first and then Israel was going to stop firing first, I went to myself, okay, somebody's playing a trick here. Right. If you're going to do a ceasefire, you just say, hey, everybody stop firing at 5 p.m. Eastern. Anybody who fires beyond that, you're done. Right. But instead, it seems like Israel kind of agreed, but they have to stop. They have to stop first, which is incredible because Israel started this war. And then Iran said, we'll capitulate. OK, great. Then he announces that the ceasefire, this is again on Truth Social, is now in effect. This is about 12 a.m. So at midnight. Ceasefire is now in effect. Please do not violate it. Signed off again, Donald J. Trump, the president. And so, like I said, I was feeling a bit suspicious. A lot of stuff felt immediately suspicious. I'm like, am I becoming cynical or is all of this just so obvious that it's theater and we know where this is going to head? And like, I mean, come on, it's Israel. Do they listen to anybody? And another thing that kind of made me recognize just how maybe fake and gay it all was J.D. Vance. As soon as as Trump drops this, he was ready in the seat for an in-person interview with Fox News. Like literally, he decided to travel to the studio and sit in D.C. across from Bret Baier to discuss this historic piece. I want you to take a listen and let me know if you recognize what's wrong with this.
Seconds ago, the president went to Truth Social and typed this. It has been fully agreed by and between Israel and Iran that there will be a complete and total ceasefire. Complete and total ceasefire is what he typed.
Yep.
What does that mean? How did it come about? What's the development?
Yeah. Well, we were actually working on that just as I left the White House to come over here. So that's good news that the president was able to get that across the finish line. I think what it means, Brett, is quite simple. First of all, the president, without, knock on wood, having a single American casualty, obliterated the Iranian nuclear program. We are now in a place where we weren't a week ago. A week ago, Iran was very close to having a nuclear weapon. Now, Iran is incapable of building a nuclear weapon with the equipment they have because we destroyed it. So that's a very, very big thing. Now, what that means, I think, is we have to talk to Iran and, of course, to Israel about what the future holds, because while we have obliterated the Iranian nuclear program, our hope and our expectation is that they're not going to try to rebuild that program. And I think that's what the president is really trying to figure out here, is to build a long-term settlement here to where we can have peace in the region, where our regional allies and, of course, the American people, most importantly, can be secured, but where we can ensure that the destruction of the Iranian nuclear program that has already happened is not something they try to rebuild.
Okay. So my face when I was watching that was actually, ironically, the J.D. Vance face. Remember, like, the now fashionable meme of J.D. Vance, like, I don't know about this one. And I'll tell you what instantly flagged me as wrong about this is that it's J.D. Vance. He is the vice president of the United States, and yet they are sending him to travel to Fox News studio to be able to sit down and communicate something to the American people that this is definitely totally done. And he is there seconds after Trump unleashes this Truth Social message. Okay. So instantly I feel like actually they're panicking, right? Because you could send this down the line. I mean, you have press secretaries who have press secretaries. You have deputy press secretaries. You could have any other person in the administration be the person that's got to run over to Fox News and deliver this message to the people and convince people that this is real. Why are you sending VP Vance? Why would you want him to be wasting his time doing that? He's the vice president of the United States. And you told us like 2 weeks ago that Iran was like totally about to kill you, right? Maybe a week ago. That Iran, like there was a viable threat. So please, let's keep J.D. Vance safe. Let's not have him traveling to Fox News studio when there is this totally viable, credible threat against you, in so much that we have to now travel overseas in these bombers to take out the nuclear sites in Iran, right? Anyways, that's how my brain works. But what do I know? The people loved it. It was just red meat being thrown to the crowd. And oh, we told you he was going to broker. This was all just 4D chess. It was 4D chess. Shame on you for not believing that Trump could establish peace, broker peace between Israel and Iran. And they're kind of trying to condemn people who called for peace and also acknowledge Israel's record with peace, which is that they never have peace. They never have peace. They are not interested in peace, and they make that very clear. So I'll give you two examples of people just like, nah, 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 boo, boo. First off, Avi Yemeni is an Israel firster. He writes, mock every last one of them who sided against Trump out of blind hatred for Israel, screeching about World War III while he was preventing it. Never let them or the internet forget that they chose the wrong side of history. This is like, you know, real MAGA guys, you know, the people that fought Trump every second of the day, of the way. And now that war is brewing, they're very happy. Now, because I don't suffer from like a need to be liked, I really just don't. I immediately just tweeted in the midst of all of these tweets that were calling out people who were anti-war and said this isn't a good idea to get involved with Israel again, that something didn't smell right, that obviously this was dumb. And the most obvious clue to you that it was not going to be this simple is the fact that Bibi Netanyahu is involved, okay? This is Bibi Netanyahu, just to put into perspective for you, who ignores the United Nations, who ignores the International Criminal Court, the International Criminal Court that America following. I mean, this is all the UN. Oh my gosh, after World War II, we need to establish the UN, the ICC, all of these courts because we need to make sure that a genocide never happens again. And then when they do their job and the ICC comes out and says, hey, Israel's committing a genocide and we're not okay with it. And we're calling for Bibi Netanyahu to be arrested, like an international arrest warrant. What did America do? Oh, it's amazing what we did. Like we said, we need this court to prevent genocide. When they do their job, the United States government then instantly rushes and votes to sanction the international intergovernmental body that we helped create. Literally, look at this. Reuters, U.S. House votes to sanction International Criminal Court over Israel. Okay. Well, you're in trouble for doing your job. So in my honest viewpoint, in knowing, like, as I did, that this was not going to pan out, I'm not even sure it's Bibi Netanyahu's fault. Like, why would he listen now? Like, you're Bibi Netanyahu, and you're so big and so bad and so gangster that you're committing a Holocaust in broad daylight. And people in America, are rushing to defend you, to pass rules and go, you know what? Okay, I know we established this because the Holocausts were bad, but like, it's good. It's cool. Bibi does it. Like, what are you going to do? This is a spoiled child, right? A child that never heard no. Imagine America, we're his mommy, okay? We're his mommy that never tells him no. We back him up. This is that toxic mom who, like, her kid gets a bad grade because he doesn't know the answers, and she just comes in and starts yelling at the teachers, right? Kid gets suspended because he got into a fight for the 10th time this year, and she's like, well, you know, the teachers are just anti-Semitic, obviously. Kid gets arrested driving drunk, kills 10 people. Mommy's sitting in the courtroom saying, no, BB did, my BB didn't do nothing. No, the system's rigged against BB. My beautiful BB didn't do nothing. Okay, that's what America is to Israel. I just want to be very clear. They can do no wrong. We rush to defend them. Even when the whole world's like, no, hey, your kid just killed 10 people in a vehicular accident. We're like, no, mm-mm. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure that Bibi not listening to anybody is his fault, because then mom can't just sort of reverse the position and do a 180 and be like, hey, no, actually what you're doing here is wrong and we want you to stop bombing people. It's like, what, I've been doing whatever I want my whole life, mom. I'm like old now, literally. I mean, Bibi's been around for a very long time just telling America what to do. And yeah, that probably creates some sort of a psychopathology, but you know, I'm not Jordan Peterson. I can't tell you for sure, but I would say committing a genocide in broad daylight and having the Western press defend you has got to probably make you a little bit arrogant. So the other thing to me that made it obvious that this was not going to last for even 5 minutes, and I'm wrong, by the way, it lasted for a whole 2 hours, was the obvious fact that Bibi Netanyahu apparently instructed his cabinet not to publicly speak about the ceasefire. So Trump has got J.D. Vance doing the absolute most. The vice president of the United States, like, it's over, it's done. And everybody's tweeting, victory, peace in the Middle East, it's over forever. And meanwhile, Bibi Netanyahu, our gangster, our spoiled child, is sitting around going, say nothing. We don't do that. They didn't say anything. They were quiet. IDF didn't, they love the tweets. They go after, they're petty too. They'll go after Bella Hadid. They're quiet on a ceasefire, okay? And yeah, thought that was interesting. So I just went ahead and tweeted this. I tweeted, hate to be the cynic here, guys, but Bibi Netanyahu has called for a regime change. And that means that one way or another, there's going to be a regime change, okay? Perhaps going the favored color revolution route or the quote unquote Iran violated the ceasefire route. But Bibi does not do peace. I'm saying, look, he's going to say that Iran violated the ceasefire. And then I abundant it with, you can shout in the comments, but be sure to bookmark this tweet at the same time. So I send that out. People shout it in the comments. You just hate Israel. My gosh, you just hate Israel. No, I've just paid attention to Bibi Netanyahu's record. And he's got like, what, 1,000 times he's done this like a whole ceasefire, and then accuses the other side of violating it. And always the other side said, no, we didn't violate it. He violated it. And then we're just in the fog of war, and you got to pick what side you believe in. Anyways, you guys are not going to believe what happened next. You probably know, but yeah, just a few short hours later, while most of America was asleep, and this is the low key, super disrespectful part, is like they waited for Trump. Like Trump sends us out at midnight, and I just happened to be up because I got an infant. And Israel magically claims that Iran, who by the way is still denying that they did this, violated the ceasefire. And of course, like I said, they could not wait until morning in the United States, which is like maybe 2 hours away. This is all going down at like 2:30 a.m. in the morning. They could not wait for Trump to wake up and respond. They instantly got the fighter jets out to respond to Iran with more bombing. And suddenly the IDF Twitter is working again. And they're acknowledging that, like, hey, I know you guys are all sleeping, America. And Trump tweeted this like 3 hours ago. But like, we got to get our planes out and respond. So this is the IDF tweet. They write, in light of the severe violation of the ceasefire carried out by the Iranian regime, we will respond with force, signed off by the chief of the general staff. And yeah, that's 3:26 a.m. our time, Eastern. And Trump wakes up maybe 1 hour later and he's absolutely furious. He's furious. And I want to be clear, this is not Trump acting, okay? He is legitimately upset, and he is specific and clear that he's upset with Israel. Because he knows that they are the ones that are yanking his chain. He knows what Bibi is doing now is just getting disrespectful. In the rap world, you know, rappers wear these chains. I don't know. This has got a lot of bling, bling, bling in them. Okay. The one thing that is considered the worst thing you could possibly do to a rapper, which basically signals that they have to kill you. I don't know why, but this is like a real thing in gangster world, is if you pull their chain. Just pull the bling, bling off. And that means it's time for war. And this is pretty much what BB's doing to Trump by letting him tweet that and then making him look like he's an absolute fool a couple of hours later. He's just yanking the chain here. Okay. So Trump's angry. He wakes up. He takes a Truth Social and he writes this. Israel, do not drop those bombs. If you do, it is a major violation. Bring your pilots home now. He's like, he's me talking to my toddlers right now because he realizes we've gone a little too far. Our kid is very spoiled and he's just doing whatever he wants with our money. Like, he wouldn't even be able to do any of this. He wouldn't even be able to drive the car drunk if we didn't buy him the car. And obviously I knew that like Israel was gonna do whatever they want. So Trump then follows it up with this message. He says, Israel is not going to attack Iran. All planes will turn around and head home while doing a friendly plane wave to Iran. Nobody will be hurt. The ceasefire is in effect. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Yeah, he sends that out. And then immediately after that, Israel did, in fact, bomb Tehran. They dropped a bomb, okay? And rather hilariously, they called it a symbolic strike. They dropped bombs in Tehran despite having that communication from Donald Trump not to do it because they needed to send a message symbolically. And they said, oh, but that's all we're going to do. We just needed to, like, you know, send a symbolic message. And Trump is furious. And this is when he just drops an F-bomb about Israel because he realizes that they're making him look ridiculous. This is what he said to reporters on his way out to the helicopter in the morning. Take a listen.
Iran violated the peace agreement and the ceasefire agreement. Do you believe that Iran is still committed to peace?
Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it too.
Are you questioning if Israel is committed?
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I'd never seen before.
Yep.
The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
I mean, not going to lie, I love that energy. I'm glad that he's actually mad because it's been humiliating to watch this. It's been humiliating as a Trump voter to watch Bibi Netanyahu humiliate Trump and his voter base, the voter base that is now divided over his actions here. And I think at this moment, Trump is realizing that he's in an alpha male competition because like he said, even when he announced the first ceasefire, Israel then went and bombarded Iran. I mean, we're dropping heavy bombs like, ha, 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 we've got a couple of hours left here. We're going to destroy you. You can't do anything. Ha, 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 ha. And then they instantly violated it. And they say, oh, well, this obscure rocket, which Israel's claiming they didn't do. Why would you, by the way? If you're not even going to hit anything, why would you send just one, as they allege that they did not do? And suddenly they're back on their planes while Trump is sleeping. This is disrespectful. Okay. This is completely disrespectful. And I think Trump is waking up to that. And he seems to also, and I think this was to send a message to Bibi, be reversing course on his earlier message that he would support a regime change in Iran. Here's what he said when asked today about a regime change in Iran.
Do you want to see regime change in Iran?
No. If there was, there was. But no, I don't want it. I'd like to see everything calm down as quickly as possible. Regime change takes chaos. And ideally, we don't want to see so much chaos. So we'll see how it does. You know, the Iranians are very good traders, very good business people, and they got a lot of oil. They should be fine. They should be able to rebuild and do a good job. They're never going to have nuclear, but other than that, they should do a great job.
He's even, like, complimenting Iran here, and I think that's because he knows that Bibi's going to see it, and he's upset. He's angry, and he should be angry because Bibi Netanyahu does not respect anyone. He's never respected anyone, and I want to be clear. This has been the consistent messaging from Zionists since truly the first Zionist lobby. I mean, this is just, they don't listen and they openly say psychopathic things in their government. I'm talking about the Israel government, their commentary that they have made about the Palestinian genocide. They don't care because, like I said, there's no consequences for anything. You can be defended and have people falling over themselves to defend you when you are committing murderous crimes, what is your incentive to stop? It's got to be a high for you to murder people at a certain point. This is what happens when you reward a terrorist state. And they've been open in the past, even in their publications. Like, you, a lot of history is intentionally getting buried. And I really encourage people to go back and learn about the initial Zionist lobby. I mean, take it all the way back to just before the turn of the 20th century to learn who has been pushing these objectives on behalf of Zionists who one day woke up and decided as a political movement that they needed a state. And Theodore Herzl was not religious, which makes it even more hilarious that people think it's their biblical duty to defend the modern state of Israel. When the modern state of Israel was being established, they weren't making any biblical arguments. And I wanted to just even show you guys this, because imagine who you have to be to have no fear as a publisher. And this is back from 2012, this person who is a Zionist and who was the publisher of the Jewish Times, to openly write that if we don't get what we want, we'll murder a president. This is real, okay? This is real. This was published. And you have this guy, and I gotta get his name here. So could you just back up first to the wider shot? What's his name here? Is it Andrew Adler? Andrew Adler, who is literally the publisher of the Jewish Times in Atlanta. And he just writes like, hey, what are we gonna do if Barack Obama doesn't give us what we want? And he gives three things that you could they could do. And says, three, we could give the go-ahead for the U.S.-based Mossad agents. Excuse me. Why do we have U.S.-based Mossad? Okay. U.S.-based Mossad agents to take out a president that is deemed unfriendly to Israel in order for the current vice president to take his place and forcefully dictate that the United States policy includes its helping the Jewish state obliterate its enemies. It's funny. That is crazy, but that actually happened once, that there was a president who was not friendly to Israel and its incentives. And then he got kind of taken out. And then the person under him was unbelievably friendly to the Israeli state. His name was Lyndon Baines Johnson. Anyways, back to the article. I digress. It goes on and says, yes, you read number three correctly. Order a hit on a president in order to preserve Israel's existence. Think about it. If I have thought of this Tom Clancy type scenario, don't you think that this almost unfathomable idea has been discussed in Israel's most inner circles? Another way of putting three into perspective goes something like this. How far would you go to save a nation comprised of 7 million lives, Jews, Christians, and Arabs alike? You have got to believe, like I do, that all options are on the table. With this in mind, pull that back up. It closes. With this in mind, I again ask you, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, what would you do? Like, openly calling for him to assassinate a president if he doesn't do what he wants. Like, that is kind of, I think, carefully paints why there is so much fear when it comes to Israel in the political world and in the social world. People don't want to stand up and say anything because they're not playing around. They will ruin your effing life, okay? I lived this last year. Oh, maybe you think Israel is doing something wrong. We're coming for your job. We're coming for your finances. We're coming for that tour in Australia. You won't be able to move, Candace. You can't even go to Australia because we're running it. Yeah, that was the Zionist lobby of Australia that did that. Because, oh my God, the horror. You can't have a platform anymore if you stand against us. So yeah, guys, this is kind of been a running theme. And by the way, that publisher, you'll be pleased to know the Secret Service looked into him, but obviously nothing happened, because you can just kind of publish these things, not expect there to be any consequences when you make a laced threat on a president's life. And you've kind of maybe done that before. Right now, Marjorie Taylor Greene, by the way, is catching heat because she just tweeted, Skylar, I think you could pull this up live, but like, she just tweeted that Israel killed JFK. And they're like, oh, she's gone insane. No, that didn't happen. That, I mean, he was fighting with Israel's prime minister, and he wanted AIPAC to register under the FARA Act as a foreign agency, so we could see what money they're moving into the United States for influence. And then, but it was just convenient for Israel that JFK got shot. It was just convenient, you guys. Totally convenient. It was convenient for Israel, by the way, when the towers went down. And like, everyone who talks about those dancing Israelis are just crazy conspiracy theorists. What would you do? What should Bibi Netanyahu do? Yeah, Those are the kind of scenarios that run through people's minds. And add that on top of a blackmail ring, which we still are never going to see the files for, Jeffrey Epstein, and they have got DC on lock. And so you always know the marker of who's actually not beholden to them, because it's who is being attacked the hardest. And it has been insane to see over the last couple of months the attacks that are being thrown at me and Tucker Carlson, Ian Carroll, and Dave Smith, who's Jewish and just like has a conscience like everybody else does. And it's like, this isn't okay. And the ADL, which has been behind a lot of this, remember they tried to fund the report, Jordan Peterson, it was funded by the ADL ultimately, the Christ is King report. People that are saying Christ is King are radical. No, we're just not controlled by the Zionist lobby, and we're not going to stop saying Christ is King. Because anybody that's not controlled by Zionists are now being called radicals, and now they've moved on to pretending that we're funded by Qatar. I have told you guys 1,000 times, I am not funded by any foreign entity. Hand on the Bible. I would never, I mean, that is so absolutely ridiculous. But now people are alleging it. And the ADL spokesperson, Jonathan Greenblatt, was on MSNBC this morning, again naming me and Tucker Carlson. And this gets even better. Steve Bannon, they're saying. Steve Bannon is now a part of the woke right. Take a listen.
And I have a question. As a Jew myself, who is very involved with Reform Judaism and goes to synagogue and and is committed to Judaism, is there space to criticize Netanyahu without criticizing the other Jews? Is there a space?
She's so scared.
And I'm wondering if you can speak about that, because I think that's a real, you know, I don't know necessarily that Netanyahu has the backing of many Israelis, because we see a lot of Israelis are maybe not so happy with some of how he operates. And I'm wondering if you could talk about that, because that's a real disconnect that a lot of us have.
So there's a few things to unpack here. Yeah. So first of all, I'm definitely not an expert on Israeli politics. Yeah. And I know that his approval numbers were quite low before and then immediately after October the 7th. Yeah. But from what I understand, Molly, they're quite high now. Israelis of both sides of the spectrum, people like Ehud Barak, who's certainly not a fan of Bibi, or Ehud Olmert, not a fan of Bibi, have said very clearly, and even the way he's doing the war in Gaza, said very clearly we needed to deal with Iran, and they're appreciating that. So I'm seeing that the Israeli public is very positive on this latest round, because Iran keeps saying Israel is a cancer, Israel is a tumor, we want to destroy it. Now, that being said, there is a lot of space to criticize policies of the Israeli government, the way they're prosecuting the war in Gaza, the way the prime minister has pushed for judicial reform. Like, there's lots of ways to criticize the Israeli state and not to demonize Israelis. Yeah, to take on policies of the country without delegitimizing it or questioning its existence. So, look, ADL does that. Lots of American Jews do that. But in this moment, what I'm focused on, really, are how the fringes, like the woke right,
the Tucker Carlsons,
the Steve Bannons, the Candace Owens, and the sort of radical left, the Hassan Pikers and people like Mehdi Hassan, unfortunately, Max Blumenthal, have been fomenting anti-Semitism, blaming this war on the Jews or the Zionists or the neocons. And I think that kind of classic anti-Semitism, I find very troubling.
Oh, it's so troubling. You know what's going to be troubling when people actually learn about the history of the ADL and how it was like funded, like it started from gangs that were going around threatening people. And then obviously learning that like all you have to do is call something anti-Semitism and nobody can look at what you're actually doing. Yeah, I know the history of the ADL. You guys are actually thugs is what you are. And you're smear merchants. That's you deal in smears. And so you're going after the people that you can't control. So the second that you hear the ADL come out and start naming people, you pretty much should know that you can trust the people that they are naming are not being funded by them. Like I said, all roads lead back to the ADL. So now we know why there's been this weird proliferation of the term woke right from people that are radically pro-Israel and that are infiltrating the MAGA movement and trying to tear it apart. It's ridiculous. It is. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And I want to say this. One of you guys sent me an email last night because I think many of you who sent other emails were so surprised by what you didn't know about World War II, because we got into, I mentioned the Havara Agreement as one thing that I was like, oh, this is something I didn't know. And somebody said, Candace, are you going to speak about the genocide of the Germans, like leading up to that, World War I, World War II? Yeah, I've spoken about that. It's why there's a pretty high bounty on my head, but I'm happy to speak about it again. I'm happy to do it. So maybe let's get into a couple of ads and I'll show you some other hidden history that's just right under your nose. First and foremost, I want to throw it to Preborn because June 24th marks 3 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. But the hard truth is that abortion has not actually gone away. In fact, it's gotten worse. Abortions are at a 10-year high because the fight has moved from the courtroom to a place that's way more dangerous, people's homes, okay? Today, more than 60% of abortions are happening through a pill that women are taking alone. In fear, they don't have any support. I mean, it's absolutely horrifying what happens next. Women are delivering their babies that are fully formed into toilets and onto bathroom floors. And of course, they're realizing in that moment that these babies are not just tissue. They're human beings. And now those human beings are gone. You have to recognize, irrespective of what you think, that that is not healthcare. It is trauma. 11% of women who take the abortion pill face serious complications, and many carry emotional scars for the rest of their lives. And that is why I support Preborn. They're stepping in where our culture fails, giving women the truth, real practical financial support, and a chance to choose life. Preborn has already saved 350,000 babies, and they can't do it without us. The need has really never been greater. For just $28, you can double the chance that a mom chooses life for her baby and for herself. So if you'd like to donate, go to preborn.com/Candace. Again, that's preborn.com/Candace. Also, for those of you that signed up yesterday to support my work, since I'm not funded by Qatar or Iran, I wanted to let you know that my website, CandaceOwens.com, was revamped earlier this year thanks to the team over at Patmos. We used Patmos as our most trusted alternative to big hosting because there's so many U.S. data centers. And with them, they are actually U.S. customer service based. Patmos provides us with tremendous value for all of our hosting and web development needs. So discover why businesses save big and get better service if you make the switch as well, like I did to Patmos. You can visit patmos.tech to make the switch today. Again, that is patmos.tech. Okay. Now let's get into forbidden history. Everybody kind of knows why that historian, Daryl Cooper, went on to Tucker's show and just started delivering other facts about World War II, and suddenly the pro-Israel lobby, the people that we know are like radical pro-Israel, just freaked out. Like you would have thought if you had just seen their response to it and didn't watch it, that he must have just been sitting down across from Tucker, like demanding like that people reinstall Adolf Hitler from his grave. Like it was nuts. The response was crazy. And you watched it and you're like, what's wrong with this? And you realize that you're not allowed to poke anything about World War II or introduce any alternative facts. And so I should say, if you begin to look into history, will realize that it has always been an information war. That is one thing that being in this sort of, I would say, mild study, I've definitely read a lot of books over the last couple of years as I try to play catch up with all the things that I didn't know. You will realize that it's always been a publisher's game. You got to control the newspapers. You got to control the textbooks that are being printed in the classroom so that you can control minds. That's it. It is an information war. Okay. So I found that to be, I'm not at all stunned to learn that now that we're moving towards this digital age, that somebody reached out to me, someone that I trust very much, and said, Candace, just want you to know, we're on opposite sides of this thing, but there's money behind this pro-Israel movement. Billionaires and Israeli billionaires reached out, asked so-and-so to make a video that is pro-Israel. And then an influencer reached out and said that people are being offered money to make anti-Candace and anti-Tucker videos, up to $1,000 for a micro-influencer. That's a lot of money. This person has got to have a lot of money, whoever's behind this. And so today we did something because we're so interested is we put a bounty out, $10,000 for an influencer that got paid, a micro-influencer, don't care if you're micro, you email tips@CandaceOwens.com and show us the concrete email of who paid you to make a video about me and Tucker and to say that we must be funded by Qatar because that's the disinformation campaign that's happening right now. And we'll give you $10,000, no questions asked. I don't care if you already made the video. We will not ever reveal your name. You can go on and live your life, okay? Promise that. But getting back to the broader point that I'm making here, which is that this has always been an information war, what I really did that pissed off the ADL and put me on their list, finally, speaking of Jonathan Greenblatt, was I started talking about the German genocide that nobody knows about. Like, and that was, if you watch this documentary, you will never be able to unsee it. You will never be able to unsee the savage piece, okay? Which is that when the Second World War ended, like when the Allies won and we should have, whoa, we ended a Holocaust, then intentionally we genocided Germans. We allowed Germans to be genocided by some psychopathic Soviets. They took their homes. They took everything. I wonder what they do with their belongings. take, when you just move people out of their homes and you are behind this ethnic cleansing. And I was horrified. And there's little tidbits in there that are deeply upsetting. Like, for example, that one of the individuals who was literally hosting a camp, this is, again, after the war, and was murdering, mass murdering Germans, and was so sadistic that he would make them stack up onto a pyramid while they were naked. So they were crushing one another. And this man, whose name was Solomon Morrell, then fled to Israel, and Israel protected him. When they wanted to prosecute that crime of Solomon Morrell, I'm pretty sure that's his name, Skylar, I hate to meatloaf you here, but if you could pull up, I think, yeah, Solomon Morrell, who was running this camp, mass murdering Germans. And then when Poland said, hey, send him back, we'd like to prosecute him for crimes against humanity, Israel said, no, we're going to protect this guy, okay? Now, the German genocide is not something that happened, something that they're not allowed to talk about, because then what they did was they also passed speech laws. So still today, to this day in Germany, you can't talk about it. If you, your family descended from one of these, like, and tons of them did, there were millions, okay, this ethnic, intentional ethnic cleansing, you can't talk about it, which is why I do, because I'm American and I still have free speech. It did not start just after the war. In fact, if you want to and you are interested in learning more about what you don't know, you should know that calls to genocide the Germans, a war on Anglo-Saxons, began long before that, before World War II. Truly, I trace it to the communists who attempted to overthrow Germany. There was like a movement of communists that tried to overthrow Germany in 1848. These are called the 48ers. And when they were unsuccessful, these 48ers, and they weren't just from Germany, but they were all coordinated. You see here, it says, were Europeans who participated and supported the revolutions of 1848 that swept Europe, particularly those that were expelled or emigrated from their native land following those revolutions. Where did they go? They came to America. Skylar, if you scroll down, it will start listing families that came from these 48ers. You've got, like, you know, the Pfizer family, the family that started kindergarten, all of these huge publishers and writers, the majority, I mean, they were all in like writing and music and things that really influenced culture, and they had money. These were not like this idea, these were not poor Germans emigrating. They were communists that came from wealthy families who were trying to overthrow the German government, failed, and then came to America and established way too much, way more than I'm comfortable with. And they kept up this narrative that they needed to kind of convince Americans to hate these Anglo-Saxons. And I'm going to give you proof. Many of these people did, not all of them, I should say. I wouldn't know. I haven't gone through every single name that came to America to see where their families are today. But there were even books that were published explicitly calling for a German genocide. Theodore N. Kaufman published this book, Germany Must Perish, right? Do you see this? That he was this businessman and a writer who published Germany Must Perish, calling for the sterilization of the German people and the redistribution of the German lands. Now hit that. Could you hit Germany Must Perish? Because it's very interesting what how they describe this book, because they're like trying to defend it in some weird way. To be clear, this book, people were on board with it. Like it says, Kaufman advocated the mass extermination of the German people through forced sterilization and the territorial dismemberment of Germany after an Allied victory in World War II. Kaufman summarized Germany Must Perish in advertisements in the New York Times and in the New York Post as a dynamic volume outlining a plan for the extinction of Germany and containing a map showing possible dissection and apportionment of its territory. Kaufman defended his plan for the sterilization of Germans in an interview published in 1941 in the issue of the Canadian Jewish Chronicle. It goes on and on. It talks about the reception in the United States. Like, nobody was like, this is wrong. Like, this is like, we shouldn't be doing this. Okay. There was a concerted effort. And then when you learn about Freud, the Freud family who established propaganda in America, the Edward Bernays, you know, one of his influencing campaigns was how to get Americans to hate Anglo-Saxons. And what I find to be problematic is that when you do any of these people's genealogies, it traces you right back to these communists who wanted Anglo-Saxons murdered since the day they tried to overthrow Germany and all of these other nations. Actually, go back to the 48ers. I want to get that right of what other countries were involved in it. If you go back to just the 48ers. And seeing where they settled in America, I find to be problematic as well. There's a lot of stuff that's happened. Anyways, we won't be able to get to all of this today. But yeah, this is a tidbit for you. Like, there's a lot of questions that I have about the 48ers, to be very specific. It's very difficult to figure out who was arrested. I've tried. I've reached out to people in Germany who I know and who I'm friends with. Everybody's terrified because you can get arrested in Germany. Like, you're not allowed to question the narrative. Like, they World War II happened and then speech laws were passed. And as you know, speech laws are always passed when people are just totally telling the truth about everything, right? You can't say anything. We're going to criminalize speech because, like, we know that the truth, like, we're telling the truth. Like, that makes me uncomfortable. But yeah, I think that it is, this is why when people in America today are saying that they believe that it's intentional, that we are having all these refugee crises in countries that are flooding our borders, and they feel that they're losing their identity, whether it's, you know, British, this is a big issue in the UK right now. It's a huge issue in America. And we're just kind of becoming this like multicultural melting pot and simultaneously being called racist or anti-Semitic, whatever it is. If we call that out, yeah, this has been going on for a very long time, and I am not comfortable when I look into and learn that people like Solomon Morrell, who were very much a part of trying to mass murder these people, who he took part in it, he actually did, he committed these war crimes, just no question, are then protected by the state of Israel. Doesn't make sense to me. And yeah, I can draw a thread between these radical communists and the radical Zionism that exists today in my own research. But again, this is stuff that we're getting into on my book club right now, because we're learning that if you're getting into the chapters, we have it tonight, book club, we're going to talk about Germans, these sadistic people that started Hollywood were then coming and getting all of these actors and actresses from Germany and putting them in front of lenses and making them appear cool. And they were corroding American culture. They were intentionally going after Christian principles. We learned this in Hollywood Babylon. So yeah, a lot going on there, ladies and gentlemen. And I just feel like I have to say that something's just not right. And that there are a lot of victims all throughout history. Anyways, you guys, going to get into some of your comments here. First, I have to throw it to our sponsors again, Pure Talk. I think I've been speaking pretty purely right now. What if I told you that you could cut your cell phone bill in half and support a U.S. company that shares your values? Values like supporting our veterans and creating American jobs. What if I told you that you don't have to sacrifice coverage because you'll be on America's most dependable 5G network? And I'm talking about the only wireless company that this show endorses, Pure Talk, a wireless company that is veteran-led and invests in United States customer service team so that you have the best support possible. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, join the hundreds of thousands who have successfully cut their cell phone bill in half. That's right. The average family saves over $1,000 a year when they switch. Pure Talk is mine and my family's cell phone company, and it can be yours as well. Switch in as little as 10 minutes when you go to puretalk.com/Owens with plans starting at just $25 a month. What are you waiting for? You can go to puretalk.com/Owens and make the switch by Pure Talk Wireless by Americans for Americans. Also, you're already drinking coffee. Why not drink coffee that is contributing to something good, a good cause? 7 Weeks Coffee is America's pro-life coffee company that's on a mission to fund the pro-life movement one cup of coffee at a time. You want to know why they're called 7 weeks? It's because at 7 weeks, a baby is the size of a coffee bean, and it's the same time a heartbeat is clearly detected on an ultrasound. That's why they donate 10% of every sale to support pregnancy care centers across the country. They've raised almost $1 million for these centers and have saved thousands of lives. And I can tell you the coffee is fantastic. It's mold-free, pesticide-free, shade-grown, low-acid, organically farmed, checks all the boxes. And right now you can help 7 Weeks Coffee make history through their $1 million for Life campaign, because they're really close to reaching $1 million of donations to pro-life organizations across the country. So head to 7weekscoffee.com and you'll save 15% forever when you subscribe and get a free gift. Plus, exclusively for my listeners, you use code Candace and you'll get an extra 10% off your first order. That's a 25% total savings on your first order plus your free gift. Remember, your order will directly help support a network of over 1,000 pro-life organizations across the U.S. Okay, you guys, let's get to your comments. Again, want to remind you, we are looking into this now because we do see this information war, which has always taken place, right? Those 1848ers also were they wanted to overthrow the Tsar of Russia. They wanted to overthrow all of these Christian kingdoms. It just gets really interesting when you look into that and you realize that the way that they were able to accomplish that was through publications, like books, writing, getting the public all riled up, and then getting people to overthrow. And I think that pretty much takes place now. They're moving to the digital medium, and you're seeing this. People are like, Candace, people are making all these videos about you suggesting that you're funded by Qatar and that people shouldn't listen to you. It's always the same people, me, Tucker Carlson, Dave Smith. And we finally, like I said, learned that there's money out there. Okay. We want more information pertaining to that. Let's read some of your comments here. You can send that information, by the way, to tips@CandaceOwens.com. tips@CandaceOwens.com. We'll pay you $10,000, no questions asked. Patrick Carlin writes, I'm for defunding Israel, but what do you think will happen to Jerusalem if Muslims take over? I guess it's happened before, but I'm wondering what your prediction is for the Christian holy sites. I mean, I guess we could just take a look at what was going on there in, like, you know, before 1948. Again, they were not involved, and they took refugees on from World War II that were holding signs saying, oh, Germans did terrible things, and, like, we just need a home. That the image of that is stunning. If you haven't seen it, by the way, the sign that they were holding on the boat, and they accepted them into their home, and then here we are today. By the way, maybe Christians need a full Christian takeover. The chosen ones. Austin Friant writes, hi, Candace, you are correct, so don't let the noise get to you. You're smart and focused on truth. I've left both the left and the right. It's freeing to call out BS on all sides. My eyes are wide open, and I know yours are as well. Keep strong. Yeah, I can't play the left and right game anymore, and I legitimately did think that it was just the left, but the more, just the older I've gotten and the more things I paid attention to, it's very clear that it's both sides and lockstep. Pretending to keep us yelling at each other when we're all suffering because of these, I think, psychopaths that are running the world. Omer Rasul says, the Muslim world never had a problem with the USA until its support of Israel. The only nations that were against were the European countries that were invading them. Yeah, you know what's funny about that, Omer, is I said this to Piers Morgan. I think they just released the episode, by the way, of me and Piers having this debate. And I'm like, he's like, well, they're chanting death to America. And I'm like, why are they chanting death to America? Why did they choose America to chant death to America as opposed to any other country? And it's like, yeah, because we've been married to this demonstrably demonic Israeli policy of expansion in the Middle Eastern territory. Let's stop being the drunk mom that just supports everything her son does and says he does no wrong. It's like there's a lot of wrong that's happened, and we need to acknowledge that. Again, doesn't matter if you're black, white, Jewish, Muslim, Chinese, Japanese. Like, if you're American, you should want this to end. MH writes, MAGA voters let this Trojan horse Trump into the White House, and the first thing he does is fill his cabinet with neocons. It's embarrassing to watch Netanyahu make Trump bend again and again. Here's what I will say. I have seen and heard a conversation where people that were close to Trump, I'm not going to name names, said that the best way to get Trump to do something is that if you tell him his base loves it and tell him, like, you know, they're going to love this, like, he'll do it, because at his core, he just wants to be loved by people on the left and the right, and he wants to do the right thing. And in that power in the hands of somebody who is whispering in his ear, who is actually not, has no allegiance to Trump, but is an Israel firster, is... It could do a lot of harm. So it's kind of a he who rocks the cradle scenario. Like the person that is whispering into his ear, like Littlefinger, can launch an entire war. And the base will love this. I also know for a fact, and if it's changed since, I'm happy to be corrected, but Trump doesn't press send on his own Truth Socials and tweets. He authors them. But at the time, Dan Scavino hits send, right? So it's just like he's just dictating it. He's a busy guy. Like it's a tweet, blah, 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 blah. So he's not seeing the instant feedback from the MAGA base being like, I hate this. And that person who's whispering in his ear, whoever that is, right? Advisors, the cabinet, they're like the base love. They could say, be saying the base loves this. They love, oh, it would be such a great show of military might. If we can get these, you know, the military, your base was thinking the military was getting weak. Think about it. If you go over and you take out their nuclear program at night, base might love that. That's how I think you could manipulate Trump to doing something. So he's not doing it because he's a bad guy, but because he's like, okay, no, okay, all my advisors, these people that I trust who are saying that the base would needs to see a show of military might, and at the same time, the nuclear stuff is a problem. And I think he's got some bad people around him. I truly do believe that because I've spent enough time with Trump in the past to know that he is not operating from a base point of evil. He just isn't. And like I said, I don't regret my vote for Trump. I regret the cabinet that he's built and the people that are around him. And I do not trust them. They are Israel first, not America first. And and to be Israel first today, you have to be evil. You just have to be evil given everything that they've done. I also want to remind you guys, book club is tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. So we will be off once we end this stream in about a couple of minutes. And then book club's tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. Head to CandaceOwens.com as we continue reading Hollywood Babylon. Next up, Elizabeth writes, "My BB didn't do nothing" is the anthem of 2025. So real. Intelligent Observer writes, "Who would have thought that no matter who you voted for, we would end up at the same spot? A great pope once said, war is always a defeat for humanity. Thank you for being tough and no BS Catholic." Thank you so much for you guys for supporting me, because if you guys didn't support me, sign up for the website, buy my book, all of these things, I wouldn't be able to do what I love, which is to communicating with you guys and trying to make sense of what's happening into the world. And what I hope to be a positive manner. I never want people to feel down watching this podcast every day. It's not lost. All hope is not lost, especially because we're all waking up. Jewel lastly writes, "Theo Von actually went to Qatar. He did a performance for the American troops. I'm surprised they are not attacking him." Oh, they are fully attacking Theo Von. Look up Theo Von's name. They're also saying he's funded by Qatar. Laura Loomer's like, "Oh, he went to Qatar," leaving out the fact that he performed for the troops. She's like, "And he came back and he's saying stuff against Israel." Again, ignoring the fact that Bibi Netanyahu has worked with Qatar, and Israel works with Qatar in so many capacities, and he's the one that funded Hamas. They leave all of that off of the table and try to convince you that all of us are betraying our countries, which I just don't, I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. I hope I've proven over the last year that my soul is really not for sale. Like, I would rather burn it all to the ground and start over than to say something that I don't believe to be true. I truly mean that. Anyways, you guys, tomorrow we will be releasing our Russell Brand interview. He was here last week and we had a good sit down, wonderful chat, catching up with him. So that will be here. Otherwise, I will see you over at CandaceOwens.com. Go over, sign, support the show, support independent voices. And if you know anything about this campaign that's operating behind the scenes, please email tips@CandaceOwens.com. Other than that, I'll see you for a live episode on Thursday.